And Gordon Duff is standing by. Uncle Gordy, going to tell us some stories this hour, so get your blankies and curl up and get ready. But first of all, we have to take care of some hard news business, and that's Syria. It looks like the plans of the Western Zionist banksters are not going to be fulfilled, that Mr. Assad is going to remain in power. In other words, the Russians, the Iranians, and others are opposed to America's terrorism in Syria, and they're going to stop it. So, Gordy, tell us what's going on in Syria.
Well, first thing I want to check is sound quality, because we're doing iPhone today, and you've always loved the iPhone.
Oh, you sound wonderful. Well, I don't want your head to get too big. You sound pretty good.
Oh, God. You know, anyway, the VT team met with the Russian press officers and the Syrian Minister of Justice 2 days ago.
Uh-huh.
They've invited our group, which is in the usual Mike Harris. You, by the way, are invited. Jim Dean, Tom Mattingly. With Syria, we have a law firm in Washington that we're affiliated with, and they have applied through the State Department to represent the government of Syria in American courts. Because, frankly, I think there's a desire to sue the United States for arming terror organizations and killing up to, I think the new number they're bouncing around is 600,000 Syrian civilians.
Yeah.
And I'd hang every single one of those on the Obama White House.
You bet.
Yeah. You know, then no question at all about this. More or less past this, fake news is a big issue now. I don't want to jump into this too much. There was a Samantha Bee, who's kind of a would-be Canadian, comic. It's people that talk on TV and think they're funny, right?
Yeah, a pretty good definition.
Yeah. With a group of, I'm not sure who they are, and the backing of the Washington Post, which is a fiction rag beyond imagination. We bust the Washington Post about once every 2 weeks for running a story using White House or Pentagon sources that don't exist. They're usually at some kind of... They've obviously taken orders from Tel Aviv of some kind. They were supposed to get a story out to manipulate a market or create a blip in a currency.
Right.
And we usually land on them for this. Anyway, they named 200 websites as working for the Russians. Prominent among those was VT and some of our sub-sites. We run dozens of websites. God only knows. You know, we're our own clone anymore. But...
There's another good line.
Some of the issues here, and this is what we are doing for a living, and we would be the team we've put together, and you talk with us/me, off the air and on an informal basis, pretty regularly. I don't let a big story go past or a revelation of some kind where I don't jump in
and call you
immediately.
No, you tip me off. Thank you, and I always appreciate that.
The fake news issue. Now, today we had General Mike Flynn's son was busted for, in this case, the explosion of Pizzagate. Now, and God only knows, because Since the Pizzagate story was fabricated, and it was fabricated and put out on hundreds of robo websites, and followed by basically Mossad assets that sold this story through their, it began to take on legs, serious legs. Plus, it had a great sound about it, satanic stuff and pedophile stuff, and it had all done inside a pizza. Well, apparently this week, someone from North Carolina actually listening to InfoWars and reading Paul Joseph Watson, and that's the toad that works for Alex Jones, semi-literate little Scottish toad, Somebody actually read his vile crap, got his assault rifle, showed up at this alleged child prison pizza parlor, and began poking holes in the ceiling with 223 ammo.
Now, this guy actually was firing the rifle, you think?
Put a magazine in the ceiling. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And based on the information he had, what he did was right. I mean, this guy is, you know, hey, the difference between a hero and a moron is, you know, is how good a press agent you've got. You know, very much so. And this guy was doing the best he could to be the best American he could. And frankly, I'm totally behind him in doing this. Now, General Flynn is on our OK list here at VT. We like the guy. He's Trump's national security advisor. We have, as mentioned, we have a Washington law firm that represents international clients. Quite often, governments aren't friendly to the United States, but that's something else here. Within the law firm, we have relationships with Flynn and former CIA director Mike Hayden and others, simply people who are out of power and running around D.C., mostly people that teach at Johns Hopkins. And this is where our guys work at Johns Hopkins, and all these guys have chairs there. Once you're out on the street in Washington, you know, you were a big guy yesterday, and now pretty much nobody will pay for lunch for you anymore. You get a teaching job. that's and I kind of been to that one myself. Anyway, we're trying to save Flynn as best we can. And Flynn's issue is that he brought his son in with him, and his son is a big Alex Jones InfoWars guy. And his son has been.
You mean he has the alt news virus? Is that he's infected?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what he's done now is that Trump has repudiated him and pretty much everything that's ever come out of InfoWars. You know, frankly, because a pretty high percentage of it's utterly and absolutely fabricated. The problem being is that this has burned Michael Flynn. And Michael Flynn.
Whoop, hold on. Your Apple phone dropped out. And you said, wait.
The only voice that's been.
And Michael Flynn, and then we lost you. And Michael Flynn.
Michael Flynn, General Michael Flynn, the dad.
Yeah.
Is the only voice in the Trump administration which has filled with, well, this is the point we want to make. Whatever Trump is or isn't, and we'll be getting into some of this because for me, I'm locked out by Hillary's people. Even at the end, you know, during the last couple of weeks of the election when we saw intelligence agencies moving in and manipulating votes. And yes, Trump's claim that millions of votes were stolen, they were certainly, but not by the Democrats. You know, there's, you know, that's another story here. And I wish to God he'd stop just running his mouth on things. But he does come to us for help. I couldn't ask for more than that. But the issue with that, we brought this up last time. What would happen if you were a populist, if the Republican Party just totally dumped on you, that you thought they were all a pack of useless thieves that hang around Washington and kiss the hinds of special interest, and then you end up being elected? You never expected it. Whether the Mossad and FSB manipulated the election and put you in. And my friends in Russia have told me that they did this. And they told me why they did it. They said they manipulated the election. They said they had to because they couldn't survive Hillary Clinton as president. They said that she was a clear and present danger to the threat of or to the survival of Russia.
Of the world. Let's not stop there.
And so they said they rigged the election. We didn't. Besides that, America's been rigging elections for other people forever. Used to be my jab when I worked for the detective agency. You know, I was in Ghana a couple of weeks ago, and one of the political parties said, "Weren't you here before in the 70s? Why, yes, You know, they actually offered to hire me to run one of their elections now, and by run, we mean rig. And of course, I'm long since past that, and I've ended my years of sinning. But we know this. We know that President Obama called Russia about the issue, and this is a red phone call from Obama to Putin over the issue of election rigging. It was done. As to what this means or what
was that one of the rigging devices that you just dropped? Is that what that was?
No, I'm actually that was. It's after 11 o'clock at night, and I'm still making espresso.
Oh, I got it. It's one of your high-tech espresso machines. Okay.
Yeah, I have a medium-tech semi-automatic. I've got a Gaja baby twin sitting out here, which is one. Yeah, it's a twin boiler, you know.
So are you really bulking up on the caffeine at this time of night? Is that what you're saying?
Well,
you're supposed to sleep at night.
I'm so sick of dealing with stuff. I like to talk openly, like there's only the two of us on here,
and no one's listening, Gordy.
Okay. I've got things on my plate that I have to make decisions about what I'm going to do personally. The Russian government wants an organization formed. And this is, what I can say. The Russian government wants to form an organization, a partnership organization of retired intelligence officers and retired military. They have put together a blue ribbon group of former Russian and Soviet officers, and they have come to me, and I may not be the right guy to come to on this, but they've come to me to set this up in the U.S. They want this council, and this is the, and they want to call it the Council of Russian and American Veterans, to serve as a safety valve advisory board to the Clinton, or to the, sorry, the Trump administration. You got to get those things straight.
It's time. It's been a month since the election. It's time to get those things sorted out.
Got it. You know, they're out there recounting and court fighting now. So, you know,
and Hillary lost 18,000 votes in Wisconsin today in the recount, just in one day.
Well,
I didn't mean to ruin your evening, but go ahead.
No, I have the voting figures are online for Wisconsin, and Wisconsin on election night was reported at 46.7% voted. When we went online about 3 weeks ago, Wisconsin shows 84.7% voting.
Small error.
Yeah. That's with five districts as over 100% and as high as 113%, mind you.
Yeah, those are dead people.
And,
very active.
Dozens and dozens of districts in the mid to high 90s. And, you know, and these are with two-year-old lists, so that's an utter impossibility based on anything. The vote in Wisconsin is off by hundreds of thousands of votes. And we've watched them go both directions.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see how this washes out.
That's called voting, by the way.
Yeah. You know, right now, Hillary in the popular vote, Hillary's up about 3 million, which is not nothing. 3 million isn't landslide, but it's a substantial win. Point being that it is, by any stretch of the imagination, technically impossible, utterly impossible to win the Electoral College and to lose by 3 million votes. Cannot be done.
How many, now, honestly, and, tell me straight here. How many votes do you think were cast by non-citizens at the behest and invitation of the commander-in-chief and others who said, vote and vote often, never mind if you're a citizen?
Not a single one.
Now, you didn't really say that.
Not a single one. No one's found a single one yet. No one recounting, no one looking, and they've been looking. They have not found. No one has found a single name. Trump made the whole thing up. And Jeff, you know, I get after you about these things sometimes, because from now on, and this is going roaming over to the Washington Post issue of fake news, when I find Veterans Today, which maintains we now have, you know, 30 news bureaus, we do important work, and when I find us listed with InfoWars and with Global Research,
I'm ashamed of you. I don't know what to do. I can't be seen hanging around with people like you if you're on that list with InfoWars.
Yeah, that's kind of the point. And you know, people are talking about suing the Washington Post for this. Yeah.
It's free publicity. 90% of those sites don't get anybody viewing them except their immediate family and some accidental visitors.
Yeah. Well, in our case, and you know, this is we have two businesses here that we're looking at and starting here. One is that we're looking at putting together a capability of just creating for corporations or others just a flurry of fake news.
Well, so the government already does that. I mean, the Pentagon admitted spent over $500 million, just one admission for fake terror video. And before that, the government admitted spending, the regular government, millions of dollars to buy and control what they call news. Now, you can't, you know, as a journalist, you can't have news when only six corporations control 95% of the news outlets. It doesn't work. You got an agenda.
Well, I go back to 2014. This is a story I've told a lot of times here. In May of 2014, if I had a memory, I'd say May 6th of 2014, about 2:30 in the afternoon.
That's pretty damn impressive.
Yeah.
Right.
I was contacted by an individual working for a Moscow-based press organization.
Uh-huh.
And was told that Russian naval intelligence, specifically the chief of Russian naval intelligence, wished to transfer a file to me. And what do you mean? And that Russian naval intelligence had received a file on the 9/11 incident, is how what they referred to it as. And then they said, and we were told to tell you that we didn't get the file from Snowden specifically. And that we had given the file to CNN back in April, and we waited for 2 weeks, and they did nothing with it. Some of the files were given to Wayne Madsen, who never understood any of it. This is what they said. And they sent the files to me. And then you and I have our friend Jeff, who is a nuclear physicist and former nuclear weapons designer, IAEA inspector, who had worked on the 9/11 investigations in New York. Now, you know, the question would be, why would a nuclear inspector and a nuclear weapons designer work on these files? And after receiving a 75 meg file package full of declassified documents from as far back as 1945, the Manhattan Project on blast radius and radiation types, and then classified documents on nuclear weapons design. We submitted these things to Jeff Smith before I would publish them, because they had formulas on them for designing nuclear weapons, actual numerical formulas, which these are nuclear secrets. Jeff went to the nuclear weapons lab at Los Alamos, got a group of volunteers who work with the IAEA, and they edited, re-edited, and altered these files so that I could publish them, and we began publishing these files, which described an Israeli-Saudi project run out of Fort Lee, New Jersey, which included information specifically about where the people who planted the bombs on 9/11, the nuclear weapons on 9/11,
right,
where they lived, photographs of their home, specifics about their plans, specifics about all of this. We had all of it, and we published it. And this is perhaps the most boycotted story in history. Global Research never looked at it. The 9/11 Truth Movement has refused to look at any of this material. And when I can show you specifically where the people lived, when I can give you the specific route the weapons were moved on,
yeah,
where
we talked about that. We talked about that. How the brave Israelis brought them into the country.
How they had been moving things in and out of the Teterboro Airport in New Jersey. This is where, Trump has his plane there. This is where the Clintons fly in and out of. But
and guess who used to have
no
his plane
inspection.
There?
John F. Kennedy Jr.
That's it.
Yes. But this story tied up everything in 9/11, answered every question end to end, every question. Even Jim Fetzer, is the professor emeritus, went through all of the material. I spent hours and hours with him, and we all understood it at VT, including our people who have military intelligence backgrounds, Hankey's group. And he's the former chief intelligence officer of NATO. Back this entirely. We had the backing of the Los Alamos Labs.
Mm-hmm.
We had everything. And not only did the mainstream news not pick it up, but no other site picked it up other than you. No one else picked it up.
And well, even I make a mistake once in a while.
Yeah.
Now, this is very interesting. And the idea that we have talked about this, Gordy's information about how these small but very efficient nukes were brought in here and placed in the towers to turn them into dust and powder.
How radio jammers were placed on top of apartment buildings by an organization called GENSA, and the J stands for Jewish,
Yep. All right, hold on a minute, and we will be right back with more. Okay, let's get right back to it. Veterans Today, the editor-in-chief, the COO, the CEO, and whatever. Uncle Gordy. All right. And for those of you who don't think that this program doesn't present all sides of the spectrum, I've obviously seen another example of how you better rethink your position, because we do. We're open to all viewpoints. That's all I'm going to say.
Jeff, are you? Yeah. More or less, I guess, one of the things I have to gauge into what I do is that VT is not a website for the general public. We don't sell anything. Actually, I sell assault weapons, but I do that kind of.
I was going to say, how many programs have we done on what you don't sell?
Oh my God, yeah. And by the way, I just picked up.
I even have a banner for you up on my homepage somewhere.
Oh yeah. I just picked up a bunch of used Colt upper receivers, so we're going to be building, and these are Vietnam era, so we're building look-alike, and I'm going to be doing mostly just 16-inch barrel rather than 20, but look-alike M16s, Vietnam era rifles, and reasonably priced, but they will be very much the for any of you guys who are carried a rifle in Vietnam like I did. There's a picture of me somewhere sitting around. I think you've got it in your sight somewhere, of me with my E1, which stands for the experimental M16 from 1968.
Yeah, this was the cardboard model that Gordy didn't find out about until it started raining.
It was embarrassing, yeah. But I've got some...
By the way, just for our firearms fans, Century Arms is no longer importing the Zastava M85. And I said, what? And they said, no, we're making our own, a real SBR that will be legal, and it'll have the same AK mechanism, but it'll be American-made. And I said, when's that came? About 6 months. So apparently Century is coming out with their own. I don't know.
Well, there is no indication that federal law on the SBR will change.
To make the barrel, what, 16 is it? What's legal? I forget.
16 inches of barrel. You're living with 10.5 inches of barrel. And
I'm sending it to you for Christmas.
In order to have
an adjustable
rear stock
and
a barrel less than 16 inches, you have to get a federal license to do that, and it just isn't worth the economics when you can put a brace, which looks exactly like a stock, on the back instead, but we call them orthopedic braces, and no licensing is available.
Yeah, but don't you dare get caught putting it up to your shoulder.
It's quite acceptable, actually. And if you have a problem putting your SIG-TAC or BLADE-CAC blade brace up to your shoulder, and they give you trouble, just tell them to call me. I'll straighten it all out.
Thank you. That is a true gift for the masses, right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Good. Coming back to the idea of you know, at VT, what our direction is. On Pizzagate, I recognized early on, I traced the story down during the first days and found it was a total and absolute fabrication.
See, I told you we present all views here. I told you.
Yeah, there. Well,
all right. Don't be embarrassed.
Trump,
go ahead.
Trump has fired people on his team who have supported Pizzagate. So he doesn't back it up. Currently, nobody's been anybody left doing this. And now, Jeff, you get drawn into these things, and I can tell you exactly why. We had not just hundreds, thousands of commenters, all first-time people, by the way, you know, which is, why are you here, you know, if you're a first-time, and you don't like the fact that we've debunked Pizzagate as a total fraud. And it's very simple. You go into any story that's released, look at the website on it, and find the source of the story. Why are you writing this down? And you go to Elmo's website the first time you get it in an email, and look for where it comes from. Is there a police report? Is there any organization that has evidence? And there is no attributable source other than an imagination for anything involving Pizzagate. Nothing. There is no attribution for anything. It all goes back from one blogger and fantasist, one basement masturbator, to another. That's where it came from, and the references lead from one to another to another to another, and there is no source for any of the information in it, none of it.
Right.
What it reminds me of is a Washington Post story. It's pretty much how they work.
Or the
Wall Street Journal.
They work. I got it. All right.
But every time a story, and they're always something sexy and attractive. They've always got people, you know, for instance, we'll take the murder of, why do I think it's a murder? Well, in this case, when we started with an internet guru, and you know the individual we're talking about, he was one of your broadcasters at one time, who was
Gus,
in prison.
Gus Guru.
Gus Guru was in prison for running child sex websites. We know he was in prison. We know why, because I arranged for the FBI to meet in Rome with Keshi, and we're bringing Keshi's name up.
God, it took you long enough.
Iranian
I was going
physicist.
Into withdrawals.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And when we got the story about Scalia's sex file, this is, and see, this would be just the same as Pizzagate, mind you. But Scalia's sex file came out of a White House source, an actual person in the White House said, the Attorney General came down here. They had Scalia's file. The president called Scalia in, tried to blackmail him. Scalia got his lawyer, flew to Texas.
Is this the story you heard, really? That Loretta Lynch and dragged her fat rear end in there?
Yes, yes. That the FBI got a hold of his, and of course, in our story, we mentioned specifically who the investigating FBI officer was.
Mm-hmm.
We had some of the specifics.
Well, we do know that the man was murdered. I mean, everybody agrees on that, right?
But we had an attributable source for the information about Scalia's file. Now, what I knew was this. I knew that Scalia's sex file was there. We knew that Scalia was blackmailed. We had that information. And I knew he got his attorney and he got on a plane. Everything past that could have come from InfoWars. Because it's dot connecting. Was he murdered? We know he was being blackmailed. We know why he went to Texas to meet with people, and we know that he never had the legally required autopsy, and we know that one of his symptoms were petechia, meaning pillow over the face or similar, as cause of death.
Yeah.
We know that there were 35 people in the room, and the police never took any of their names or in the building. We knew these things, but the attribution, this is like comparing this to Pizzagate. We knew where the story came from. We knew why. This is a far, endlessly bigger story, 100 times bigger. Matter of fact, it is the real story behind Pizzagate. This is the real satanic pedophile ring. The problem is it was in the middle of the GOP. As it was with the Franklin scandal. Now, if we go back to the Franklin scandal, and this, and my involvement came in 1991, while I was working for what I will call the detective agency. I was working for a federal agency at the time.
You used to work for the damn post office. Now you're switching on.
I worked for the post office.
Keep the job straight.
While working for the
here.
Post office, I was approached by a high official of the Republican Party who came to me saying that the President of the United States was being blackmailed because he was at a St. Louis fundraiser where in the building top Republican donors were there with underage rent boys. And this is the known as the Franklin scandal. DeCamp wrote a book about this issue. I was brought in at this time as an intelligence operative to deal with this and to end the threat, the national security threat.
All right.
Because there was...
But now Flynn can take care of that, so...
Yeah, well, frankly, I'd still get the call. They still come here. But my involvement is... And what I had learned during this process, yes, that kids were being kidnapped from Boys Town, yes, they were being passed around in Washington, yes.
Ah, it's so ugly, and I don't even hang party labels on this. Come on, it's a perversion of the human species.
But at no time was there any evidence that George Herbert Walker Bush was involved in any way.
I didn't say he was.
Yeah, well, that was the issue at the time, and that was my job at the time, but my involvement because I was there. But past this, with story after story after story, when someone puts a comment up at VT or at your place or whatever, or, you know, and we're yelling at you here, if you run an article and that article tracks down to Stu Webb, for instance,
like the
video where Clinton was. There's a video showing Clinton raping a young girl. Okay, well, that's a Stu Webb fabrication. Problem being is that the son of National Security Advisor General Michael Flynn, his son, tweeted that, has spread it around the internet, and now using that not only he brought his son in, who backed that story up, which was a Stu Webb fabrication. You know, more than that, and that Vice President possible elect Pence had requested a security clearance for this young man. It is probably going to kill the career of General Flynn, and General Flynn is the only voice of sanity standing around there, and it's being used to bring him down. And why is he being brought down, we might add? And who's doing it? Let me give you a little bit of background on this. You know who Jared Kushner is?
He works for the... I forgot who he works for. I've heard the name somewhere, though.
He's Donald Trump's son-in-law.
I know who he is.
Yeah. Well, we've identified Donald Trump's son-in-law and his Middle East envoy as an Israeli...
example of how the Mossad can penetrate anything.
As an Israeli intelligence agent, yes. But not just that. We suspect that as a Mossad agent, that's his cover. First of all, everyone knows he's a Mossad agent. And it's bad enough. We've got a president where half your listeners wanted this guy because he was going to round up the Jews and throw them into gas chambers, or at least, you know, so all of the alt-right Steve Bannon people believed. He's gonna get all them Jews and round them up and get them taken care of. You know,
wait a minute, Bannon Breitbart. People don't understand. Breitbart has an office in Tel Aviv, Gordy.
Oh yes.
And what does that tell us?
Huh? Yeah, and heaven forbid, I actually don't, which is quite something. You know, Steve Bannon. When looking at Steve Bannon, and for those of you who don't know, that's Steve Bannon is a former lawyer for Goldman Sachs, who somehow left Goldman Sachs as an Irish Jew hater and moved into the entertainment industry and produced several B films, and from there moved over to the Breitbart organization.
Now that was weird. I got to ask you a question. I don't know this. I could look it up. When did Bannon join Breitbart vis-a-vis the murder of Andrew Breitbart?
Oh, that. You mean, was I going to say that Steve Bannon murdered Andrew Breitbart?
I didn't
hear
that.
Was I going to say it?
No.
Or more appropriately, that he had it done?
I would never entertain such a thing.
I'm not going to say that. No. I'm not going to say that Steve Bannon had this guy murdered. No.
All we know is that Andrew Breitbart was having a few drinks at a neighborhood bar and was walking home down the sidewalk and fell over dead.
Yep.
And then we expected Breitbart News to kind of fade away, but geez,
nope.
within 6 to 12 months, it was booming. Lots of money, lots of staff, even an office in Tel Aviv.
There we go. Yep, that's right. Showed up dead. Yeah, I think you've got it. And not just that, for those of you out there, write down Steve Bannon, okay? And go to Wikipedia. And this is where we, you know, and Godly knows I'd like to train any of you out there that are trainable, VT would train you. But if you want to see something classic, go into this guy's self-written bio, and it even includes that he beat his wife. He even put that in there.
Well, he's an honest man. Come on.
I believe he says that, too.
We need honesty in government.
Yeah. But if you want to see a razor-thin bio, and I mean by razor-thin, the most razor-thin bio on earth is Congressman Mike Pompeo, the new director of the CIA. This guy is absolutely nobody. I mean, useless. I wouldn't trust him to deliver a newspaper. One, much less, you know, assemble a Sunday paper and put it in one of those little orange bags and put it on your lawn. This guy doesn't have that kind of capability.
Who made that call, do you suppose? Any idea?
Well, here's what we're seeing right now. We're talking about Syria. We started this out. I've been invited to bring a team into Syria, and if you will go, I will bring you. Now, that means you're going to have to sit in the floor of a car with a... We'll get you a regular AK, and it won't be as good as the one you've got at home, mind you. But Hezbollah is going to drive you to the border. The Syrian army will meet you and run you into Damascus, and we will meet the head guy there.
Mm-hmm.
But we have been invited to come with a Russian delegation of military officers.
Well, be sure and let me know where you are so we can get you on the air from over there.
Done it before.
I know.
Yeah.
See, this has all been arranged by Franklin Lamb, but he won't say that.
we won't get into that. Franklin Lamb's name came up today about something, but
it's kind of like Keshi.
Yeah, that's when I think about websites that are on the same list as VT, and I look at I think it's Mossad.com. No, it's called Counterpunch. That to me, that's the Mossad's anti-Zionist website.
The alternative news, the whole damn field, is so penetrated and corrupt and compromised, it's almost as malignant as the mainstream media now. It's that bad. But
Jeff, and this is my, God only knows it's a rant here, but where I refuse to back Pizzagate and am last man standing, and everybody with an IQ under 80 out there hates our guts, but since I don't sell anything, you know, I mean, I don't have the same pressure you do. I don't, you know, I don't have debts. I don't need to do any of this. You know,
let's not talk about debts. I don't want to hear that.
I know. Anyway,
I have to live with it.
Yeah, we don't deal with any of these issues. You know, we have other ways of making money, secretly running the world. You know,
right.
We have other ways of making money. Our issue is very simple. I loved running a certain amount of interesting or speculative news, and when others began doing it, like Breitbart, like InfoWars, by the ton, and then hundreds and hundreds of robo-sites started coming up doing this, that the only direction I could go was every time I found a story. I know how to read a story, and I look for a source. Where did it come from? And this is why I point out the Washington Post. When you go into Washington Post stories, and they say they got it from an unnamed Pentagon or White House source, and it's always something that 2 days later nobody admits to.
Right. It goes, replaced,
it means,
gone.
It means they simply made it up, and nobody ever says a word to them.
Nothing.
Because it is pure, unadulterated. The Washington Post continually does fake news. You know, years ago, I actually used to expose their stories on we had an editorial section in Press TV that I used to write for. And I would take apart the New York or the New York Times and Washington Post, showing exactly what they do. Whenever you hear a story that's sexy, that goes end to end, where they know everybody that did it, they know why. When they know all of this stuff, it's a fake. Because none of us get that much information. Now, who is Jared Kushner? He's ostensibly an admitted Mossad agent. And was obviously, you know, we know he was cooked into the Trump family. We see this clearly. We also know that of Trump's kids, Eric Trump spent over a week with Erdogan during the same week. You know, and Trump's got two kids. One has been hunting deer in Turkey. He's been with Erdogan. And the other one met with ISIS representatives in Paris. And that's Don Jr. Well, during the week that Eric was in
Turkey, you know what he did? He just sent Ivanka to meet with Al Gore on climate.
I'm trying to get past this one now. Yeah, right. That one sent me to the basement. You know,
go ahead. Yeah.
But on the same week that one of the Trump kids goes to Turkey, that same week Erdogan announces that he's going to try to overthrow Assad. And of course, you know, I have
yes, I do.
A member of Lavrov's staff is one of the editors at the Veterans Today. So I called up Gene Khrushchev and screamed. And it'd be, "You stupid mother," and then figure the rest of that stuff. You know, Gordon's a Marine and he talks like one. Why are you letting yourselves be hammered like this? Within a day later, 48 hours later, not only did Erdogan say, "I didn't know what I was saying," but he started withdrawing his troops because Putin laid the hammer on him.
Yeah.
But Putin, and not that Putin wouldn't have done it, but frankly, Putin wouldn't have done it if I didn't land a message on Lavrov's desk, from Gene, saying, "What the hell are you guys up to?"
All right, we've got to wrap it up. You got 30 seconds.
Here's my prediction of where some of this is going, the targeting. The targeting of this make friends with the Russians routine here is very simple. To penetrate Russia, to get near Putin, to kill him and take over. That's the game, is to get Putin gone. Putin is not a friend of Israel. If you want to see what's going on here, Putin despises Israel. Despises.
Right. All right.
Absolutely hates. Anyway, Jeff, it's been fun.
Thank you. Always a pleasure. You be well and keep me posted on your cult resurrection. That's going to be fun. All right.
We need to get you some more weapons, Jeff.
I know. All right. See you, Gordy. Take care. Thanks.
Right. Thanks.
Back with more in just a few minutes. Hold on.